Welcome to Happy Hour.
Definitely Dynamite. Let's rock again. All right.
I jump his bones.
Yeah, she's tripping Jack Daniels. It all rules. All that shit rules.
Run back my cart, drink a few beers, and pick on some unsuspecting victims.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Well, thank you guys for joining us at this happy hour. This is the seventh installment of this little soiree.
And those guys keep coming back.
I love
they're so
that.
Fun to party with.
They keep finding us.
Yeah.
Well, Liz is slinging some drinks. We got half price appetizers because AD's got a new skillet.
Oh. She's talking about my hairdo.
That's right.
Some shrimp on the Barbie.
Yeah.
We got a bunch of great vinyl, rock and roll vinyl related games to play with you. As usual, if you've never heard this show before, it's one of our favorites to do. We have a game of Overboard, a game of Price Hike, Liz's Rock and Roll Quiz, fastly sweeping the nation. Heap or Poe is here again tonight.
The game of games, man.
Then AD will play us a happy little song that he's culled from his record collection. Yes,
it's a fun little drinking track.
That's right. That's right. Well, before we get cracking, let's give a shout out to our friends over at NameOnAnything.com.
NameOnAnything.com, for crying out loud. That's right. The good folks at NameOnAnything.com are sponsoring this happy hour, as they do with all the happy hours. When I tell you they'll put your name on anything, by God, that's exactly what they'll fucking do. They'll put your name on anything.
Amen.
You want your name on Aisley Fraley's ass? They can do that. Tattooed, printed, or embroidered name on anything, including acefraleysass.com.
Wow. That's awesome.
And you will see my name
embroidered.
On
actually,
ass.
Embroidering his ass.
Wow. Ooh. You will save 10%. Save 10% when you put your order together over there at nameonanything.com if you mention the Shabby Road Wreckage Show.
Kylie. That's right, Kylie.
They're dying to hear from you, right, Ace?
Yes, they are. Hey, well, I woke up this morning, I had your name on my ass.
That's awesome.
That's crazy. I thought I was high.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Hey.
I actually didn't put Ryan McKay. I put your name.
Oh, I saw that. That was clever. I looked backwards, though, in the mirror.
Red rum.
Yeah.
I'll put that on next week.
I thought it said that. I was just nervous.
All right. Well, any other items of interest before we get cracking on our games here?
Yeah, a couple of little sad bits of information. Two rock and roll passings, if you will. One was Keeley Smith, if anybody recalls. When I say rock and roll, I say that in the old school terms. Keeley Smith was the singing partner of Louis Prima from 1949 to the 1961. Her real name was Dorothy Jacqueline Keeley. I did not know that.
I didn't know that either.
She went by the name of Keeley Smith. She died of heart failure at her home in Palm Springs at the age of 89.
Certainly hits close to home for us because we play with Louis Prima Jr. and all that.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. Part of the sort of the legacy in the family, if
sure.
you will.
She was born in Virginia.
Yes, she was.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes, she was.
So, yeah, and they kind of created the whole Sonny and Cher, you know, the straight chick. You know, the stone-faced chick with the zany dude partner kind of
thing. That was the act.
Mm-hmm. That was the act. And that kind of – that's recreated that, the whole thing. Mm-hmm. So anyway, rest in peace, Keeley Smith. And also, the death of Pat DiNizio was a bit shocking. Pat DiNizio, of course, the lead vocalist and rhythm guitar player and main writer from the Smithereens.
Wow.
Yeah, sadly.
You just told me this right before we launched into this, and I had not heard that news.
That's
very sad. What a great band they were.
They were. And I'd worked with them a couple times doing sound, and also I spoke with him and had one of those once-in-a-lifetime long shots. I almost got an opportunity to tour with them. So it never happened, but I spoke with him about that. And it was one of those right place at the right time, but it turned out he didn't need me to do it. So,
yeah.
And but he was
a
super nice guy. Yeah, he fell a couple of times a few years ago and did some nerve damage. Sound familiar? 80 Adams?
Right.
Right? And it got worse for him, and he became debilitated, basically couldn't function physically enough.
Mm.
His health deteriorated rapidly, and he just died, up and died.
All right. Don't you go doing that again.
Oh, don't you? I know, right?
I'm ordering bubble wrap.
So stay vertical, people. Stay vertical out there.
That's right.
Right? Yeah.
Okay, well, I guess, AD, you're the one that has Overboard this week.
Oh, I do. This is a good one.
I love these games. Liz, why don't you launch us into our first game, Overboard?
It's time to play Overboard.
That's right. Overboard. And as the ship leaves the harbor with a belly full of freight, we go to sea and take our chances with Mother Nature and Poseidon himself and try to get that cargo to where it's going. But we've run into some stormy seas before, and it looks like we have again. And the ship is being tossed like the SS Minnow, and it looks like to stay afloat, we're going to have to jettison some of that precious cargo, Ryan. We've got some heavy, heavy cargo. Tonight's cargo consists of some very heavy soul albums, some very important soul records. All three carry significant weight, and we'll all be ashamed that one of them will not reach the destination your ears ever again. So what we have to do is we have to jettison one of those records and swear to never listen to it again. So that's the rules here.
Okay.
All right.
So once it's been set a sea, walked a plank.
Never again.
Thrown a brine.
Nevermore.
That comes later. Yeah.
Thrown a brine into the hateful sea.
Now, this is going to be, I'm going to promise you, the most difficult one ever.
Oh, is that so?
Battle of the Soul Titans. Ryan, from the hardest working dead man in showbiz, the godfather of soul himself, Mr. James Brown, I bring you 1969's King Records, Say It Loud, I'm Black and I'm Proud.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Produced by James Brown. Of course, the significance, obviously, during the social upheaval in the 1960s with the advancement of the civil rights movement, of course, in the USA at the time. It was a very important statement for James Brown at the height of his popularity to not only release that song, but title his album that. And it was a real, real cool thing. What happened, there was just a big explosion for soul. There was a reaching out. There was a crossing over of racial boundaries, I think, that happened because of that.
Yeah.
A very, very important record in our time, okay?
Did this win a Shabby Award for Song of the Year?
It absolutely did.
Wow.
Yes, it did.
What song did you play? Would you remember?
I remember.
Lose My Mind?
No. On the left side one, track four.
Shades of Brown? Goodbye, My Love.
Goodbye, My Love, yeah.
That was a real surprise when that won for Song of the Year last year.
Right, exactly. So that's the thing. So and there's great songs on here. The title track itself, Goodbye, My Love, Licking Stick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is great. Okay, so the second pick, this is a very heavy piece. This actually weighs a lot. From the Queen of Soul, from the Godfather of Soul to the Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin.
Ooh.
With her 1972 release on Atlantic Records.
Yes.
This is her record-breaking live gospel album, Amazing Grace, with the James Cleveland Orchestra and the Southern California Community Choir, produced by Jerry Wexler, Arif Mardin, and Aretha Franklin. Ryan, it is not only Aretha's biggest selling album, but is also the highest selling live gospel album of all time. It is the Frampton Comes Alive of gospel, Ryan.
Okay, I love this album.
Right?
You played this, and this was on the show with our moms.
That is absolutely. It's a jaw dropping album.
I loved it.
It was done live in a gospel church with her father, directing the orchestra, I believe. Reverend James Cleveland is the pastor there, and it was a magnificent experience. It literally, you are in that church. It's a double live album of Aretha at her best. She's not singing commercial. She's singing for the Lord, and man, is she throwing down.
Yeah.
A gem. Okay, now, last and certainly not least, our favorite soul artist ever to get shot and killed by his dad.
Oh, no.
Marvin Gaye.
That's right. I have Marvelous Marvin's Coming Out Live album. Now, why I call it the Coming Out Live 1974? Now, I call it... James Brown's studio album. The live track, though. Yeah. I call it his Coming Out album because this is the album, remember, after What's Going On came out. That came out, and he developed a huge bit of stage fright. Maybe it was drug-induced. I'm not speculating.
He got stage fright.
It was crippling stage fright.
He wasn't a dancer either, so he's no James Brown up there
on
that stage. He's a bit of a wallflower, kind of.
So he kind of went into a cocoon and said, I'm not going to be doing that anymore. I'm not going to be playing out anymore. So this was the one on Tamla Records, 1974. They said, come on, let's do this. So he packed Oakland Coliseum in Oakland, California. This is the live album where he found his growing stage fright and faced it off. and did a magnificent job. This is a stellar performance of a newfound power, a newfound freedom in our hero there. So
awesome. You know, I've never heard this record.
Oh, well, okay. Well, also,
I have him live at the London Palladium, which came out a few years later. I've heard that, and that's okay.
This is, he did a redo of Distant Lover, which is, but he redid it and on this, and it was kind of a spontaneous thing, like just recently. It's the first recording of it. After that, this version of it became the staple in his show.
Oh, really?
Also, there's a one-off thing, a little song called Jan. It's a song about his girlfriend and now and then wife, Janice. So that's
the one,
a one-off.
He was cheating on.
You betcha.
Or cheating with.
With
his
ex-wife. On Barry's daughter.
Barry's sister.
Sister. Right? What's sister?
No, sister.
But so,
Here, My Dear, the record.
Yeah.
The divorce record.
Right, yeah. So this, then, is classic in its own way, significant in their significance, I think, to the time and to the artists themselves. Very meaningful records for each of them.
Hmm.
So, one has got to go, Ryan.
Wow.
Wow.
This is a tough call. Let me work through it here a little bit. Now, I'm not familiar with this particular Marvin Gaye live album, so I'm thinking I may not want to throw it over because I've not heard it. What if I love it? What if I...
You will.
Really?
It.
Okay.
It's magnificent.
Aretha's Staying, because I love that record. I've heard that one. It was just amazing. It's on my list of records to buy. I cannot find it. Where is it? Where are these records, these Aretha gospel records? I can't find it. I've looked in the gospel section, in the soul section, everywhere. Pop. Can't find it.
That thing sat right at the front of an end cap when I walked in record room. Like, boom, hello. Aretha's like, where are we going? We're going to your place? I'm like, yes, we are. Yes, we are, Queen of Soul.
So, James Brown, I'm Black and I'm Proud Now. That's Goodbye, My Love is fantastic.
Licking Stick.
It is a Shabby Award-winning album. So,
absolutely. It's his best album.
So it really comes down, like, I really don't want to throw Aretha off. It comes down to, am I throwing Marvin's Unknown to Me live album, or am I throwing off the James Brown record, which I also have not necessarily heard other than what you've played from it.
Oh, okay.
So I'm in trouble.
Trust me when I say you would not want to throw any of them over.
Okay.
Believe you me.
No doubt
throw
about
AD
that.
Throw AD over.
Oh. You're going.
Listen, I'll throw my entire Rat collection over if you let me keep all three.
You don't.
Sorry, Warren DeMartini.
Okay. You only have one Rat record.
I have two.
Do you have two?
I think I do.
You have Dancing Undercover, don't you?
No, I don't think I have that one.
You played a song from Dancing Undercover.
Then I do. Okay.
It was one of those where you joined a record club and you didn't know what else to pick.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
I'll throw that in there.
I don't think I would intentionally.
For the fraction of a penny, I have
the other one where the chick's crawling on her knees on the front.
Out of the Cellar.
Okay, I'll get that one, too.
That's a good
one.
First
one, wasn't it?
I don't know.
I think technically they're second, but... The start here. How do we get to Rat? We've got Titans of Soul here in front of me. You know what, AD? I'm such a big Marvin Gaye fan. I'm going to have to throw James Brown overboard. So
wow.
He's going to have to do a big old split jump like a David Lee Roth
spin
style,
and dive.
And a spin and just dive right off the
side.
Make
a splash.
Yeah. Like an Olympic diver. Yeah, it doesn't mean make
and the guy
splash.
And the guy with him putting his cape on him.
He's got to go too.
He's going with them at the same time. Yeah. They both go together.
Okay, Liz.
Tough decision. That's a tough one. Liz, that's what say you?
All right. Okay, I'm not going to kick Aretha off because I have too much RESPCT for the woman.
Okay, I like it.
I'd like to see that happen. A chick fight would be awesome. And I heard Aretha will whoop your ass.
Liz versus Aretha in a fight.
I think she popped Patti LaBelle recently.
Did she pop?
I think
like
she
recently.
Her. Oh, yeah. Like, pow.
What a bitch.
Yeah.
Bitch, please.
Knock the wig right off.
I haven't heard the Marvin. I know some of the songs on the Marvin Gaye album. The James Brown, I was looking to see if it had Please, Please Me, and it doesn't.
Please, please, please.
Which I love. And if it had that, I would keep it, but it doesn't. So since I haven't really heard the Marvin Gaye I'm going to toss James Brown.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Well, we sailed right into port already.
Wow.
That was the fastest.
Well, phew, all right. Well,
what do you got, AD?
I don't have to. Then.
You have to pick. No, you have to pick, Smarty Pants.
I would say James Brown. Listen.
Wow, it's unanimous.
The Aretha Franklin record is historical, and not only fuck the history, it's a magnificent fucking record. And if you're listening to a record and you're doing something, like if you're sitting at your computer and doing stuff and with a double live album of gospel, your day gets really good real fast.
Yes,
let me tell you.
Yes,
that's just
it does.
Great music to, you know, that.
Yeah.
And sit down and just do what
you're
doing.
Choir,
yeah, get
and
that
everything.
Going, man. I mean, fuck, man. Again, the Marvin Gaye record is magnificent. He's kind of come out of his shell. He's having a blast. It sounds, you can hear it on the record. Marvin is having fun. He's like, fuck this.
Marvin's cocaine dealer was right on time backstage.
Listen, you know what? My troubles are behind me. I've come out. I you know, everything, you know, all the shit.
He was also at the height of his powers, like right when Let's Get It On came out.
Exactly.
And what's going on the heels of that record, you know, it's like, wow.
So he's feeling,
never bigger.
He's feeling pretty good. One of my sides, I'm like, thing just went out. Headphones just went out.
Uh-oh. You've done half
of
you.
Yeah, I think it's this adapter here. But so, yeah, man. So he's, you know, he's feeling his oats, and he kills it. It's just a great, great album, Ryan. I'm surprised you don't even, you haven't.
I know.
That's what
like
you need.
I never knew much about that record, and it almost looks a little bit like a budget record that you find, you know, in the $4.99 bin.
Well,
I think that's what always spooked me about it. Like, I'm like, this could be like an aftermarket thing.
It's
terrible.
It's a great record. Again, I think because of the mood he's in, you can tell he's having fun.
Hmm.
And it's rare because the other, you know, all the Marvin Gaye records is kind of like more subdued and, and all that. But this, you know, just for that alone, just that period in his life, it's just, it's really captures that. And,
cool. You're letting me borrow that then.
Yes, you should.
Excellent.
Yeah. The James Brown album is James Brown at his finest.
But you have the Apollo.
I know. And yeah. And you can also find all those tracks or most of the good ones on another compilation somewhere. And I'm sure you can hear, but these are live.
Yeah.
And the continuity and the point of view of that the entire concert, the entire album from both the Marvin Gaye record and the Aretha Franklin albums are definitely,
yes,
I think,
good
more
point.
There's a cohesiveness there that you just can't pick a track out and put it on a compilation. They go together, and I think that would be the only reason I throw the Godfather of Soul
off this
and
ship.
Get that brand new fucking badass suit of his all wet.
Well,
sorry, James.
You guys listening in, please let us know which one you would throw off. And if you've never heard these records,
we
obviously strongly encourage you to check them out. They are all on Spotify, I think.
If you have
a Spotify machine.
1974's Marvin Gaye Live. That would be 1972's Aretha Franklin's Amazing Grace album, the live one.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be James Brown, Say It Loud, I'm Black and I'm Proud from 1969. Get all three of those.
Beautiful.
Just own those. You should own those.
Yeah, hit us up on the social media there or on the email address shabbyroadshow@yahoo.com or hit us up on our shabbyroadrecordshow.com forum
or just
page.
Hit us.
Hit it. Hey. Dun, 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 dun. Get up.
Get on up.
Let's play another game here, AD. Are you ready?
I love it. I am.
Are you ready? Let's see how your shopping habits are, how savvy you are in a sort of a supermarket savvy way.
Okay.
And play a little price hike, Liz, if you please.
Attention shoppers. It's time to play Price Hike.
Those annoying little Swissmen. What do you call them?
Swissers?
Hello, Mr. Swissman.
So what we have to do here for Price Hike is I have three records I brought in a mystery box as well, AD. And your mission is to put them in order, priced low to high. What their current value is on Discogs. Okay. I have got the original press, and I am also basing my pricing on it has to be very good or above on both media and sleeve.
Cool. Okay.
And I include shipping. I know there's a discrepancy between the two of us, but
fucking thing.
Now, I will tell you that here's the thing. It does matter because one seller of a very good one, the cheapest one, very good, very good. One of them's shipping price was $4.50, and the other two were $5. So it's a 50-cent difference, and that can make or break this game.
Okay.
All right. So the theme of tonight's price hike is classic, above all, classic rock and roll records. It's so classic, in fact, you probably never, ever, ever want to hear them again.
Oh, jeez. Oh, Led Zeppelin 4.
Well, okay, let's start there, because that's in here.
Boston.
No,
the
no.
First album. Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay, so we'll pull out Led Zeppelin 4. That's in there.
Yeah.
Led Zeppelin 4, of course, we all know that. Have you always called it 4? Because some people call it...
I've heard it
Zoso. I've heard it called Runes as well. I've heard... And on Discogs, it's labeled Led Zeppelin Untitled.
Huh.
Yeah, it's very strange.
I've always called it 4.
I mean, it's... When was the first time, Liz, when was the first time you heard Led Zeppelin 4?
When it came out.
72? 3?
Ish, yeah.
2? I think it's 2. Wow, really? Back then? You must have been a tiny
11.
Tot. Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So did you wear it out? I mean, was it a thing?
I never really got into Zeppelin until in my, like, 20s and 30s.
Mm.
I'm sorry.
We did bongs in Bob Levy's room to this record.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody else.
Spanking new.
Everybody else around me played that all the time.
That, so you never owned it?
No.
For that reason. That makes sense. There's a lot of records in my life that your friends had it, and it was always there at all the parties, so you never bought it.
Oh, I bought it.
But so you have the Led Zeppelin 4.
Oh, God, yeah.
How old were you when you were listening to that?
When it came out.
It was, Jesus, you too.
Oh, like I said, seriously.
Well, we're old.
Seriously, we went to the record store that day. It was me and
Led
Bob.
Zeppelin 4? I guess so, because you've talked about doing that
for
Mom
and
everything.
Yes. Yeah, we pedaled our little bikes up to, I think, I can't remember if it was Sunflower Seed or one of those, or Empire Music.
Yeah, because you were like 15.
Yeah. So, yeah, we pedaled up there, and this is one of the records Bob bought. I ended up buying it, but we went to his house and smoked bong hits.
So you drop the needle, you hear rock and roll. What's everybody doing?
Wow, I'm like, fuck, yeah. Because at the time, it wasn't worn to shreds.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Like, but it was within a few months.
Dude, okay, I'm going on record here. Even Stairway to Heaven was like, fucking wow.
Yeah, I bet. Like, that was my next question. Yeah. Like, what happens when you hear Stairway to Heaven for the first time?
Unbelievable. Goosebumps. I mean, like seriously? Seriously? Like, this is the best song ever fucking written. You know?
Instantly you're thinking that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So this was a very popular record amongst you guys. Now, by the time
Black Dog was on it.
Black Dog.
Yeah, Black Dog.
We played Black Dog like 6 times in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Black Dog is side one, track one.
It's first one, yeah.
Oh, God. I mixed it up with Song Remains the Same. But, yeah, okay. So I was 13 when I heard it, and I liked a lot of it, but I wasn't – you're looking at a kid at 13 who was listening to Wasp. And Kiss and Maiden. So I hear things like Battle of Evermore, and I go, what's this crap?
right.
You know? I loved Stairway to Heaven, and I loved Black Dog and Rock and Roll, and it has so many great moments on it, but it took me a while to warm up to it.
Doesn't get any classic-ier than this.
No,
honestly, this is one of the most iconic albums ever.
Yeah. Yeah, so
sick of this thing,
and I never need to hear it again.
You never want to hear it again.
Never.
Yeah, I throw this overboard.
Yeah,
can we get James Brown back in here?
I would listen to Black Dog.
I can't swim, you motherfuckers.
Okay,
I would listen to Black Dog any day. I like that.
You still
song.
Like that? That
yes.
holds up.
That's for me too. I don't mind that. If it comes on a radio, I'll. That's when I won't hit the.
Going James to California Brown. And strangely enough, Battle of Evermore, the two that I could still listen to off of that record.
Probably the least of on this disc, probably.
The ones that aren't played.
The least played.
Or When the Levee.
Yeah.
You know, fuck, mm-hmm. When the Levee Breaks is great for 8 seconds, and then you turn it off.
Yeah.
Going,
that's just the
really,
intro, the harp, the first verse, and then the first time they go, ba bum boom ba da, and then they go back into the, okay, so you've heard it.
Yeah. All right, next record. You guys, Boston's not in here, but you guys want to try to venture a guess as to what are the other two fucked out?
Okay, like iconic, classic.
Pink Floyd.
Dark Side of the Moon?
Dark Side of the Moon is correct.
Right. Good guess.
There it is, Dark Side of the Moon.
All right, rock era, though, so, right? Rock
era? Yeah. So Dark Side of the Moon, Pink Floyd. Where's everybody at with this record? When's the last time you heard it? Is there any reason for you to ever listen to that
record?
No, I
didn't think there'd ever be a reason for me to have these two albums in my hand at the same time ever again.
To throw them away.
Dude, we had
to throw them away.
Yeah, we're at a party at the Naustrips house.
Oh, my God. I wonder if I got the third one right.
Right?
I mean, it's a classic album. It's so great. There are great moments. We've all heard that record. I mean, that's a record that you know front to back, because oftentimes at parties that thing just rolls on right towards the end of the night.
Time and time again. Sometimes somebody will just take one. You know, they come into the party late and thing just played, and somebody will go, "Hey, flip that record over."
Yeah, here it comes again.
Here we go. Yeah. No. Nobody's gonna go no. They're all drunk.
I will.
Liz goes no to all Pink Floyd, or just
I'm not. I can't take it. It's just too down.
Not if there's an Angel record down there somewhere.
Yeah.
That's not in this box. Yeah.
It better not be.
All right. Any more guesses on what album number three is?
Kansas. Alice Cooper?
Or Bad Company?
Nope.
Aerosmith.
No, that's a good call, though. I should have thrown one of those in. Any Think More Heavy Metal.
Oh.
Priest. Early.
Priest. Iron Maiden.
I got Black Sabbath, Paranoid.
Oh, my God, you do.
That one.
Black Sabbath, Paranoid. Should have been, was an originally titled War Pigs. That's why there's a dude in a pink fairy outfit there. I guess he's supposed to be a pig, and he's warring because he's got a sword and some sort of space helmet.
Cop helmet on.
Is that a cop helmet?
Yeah, like a SWAT team helmet.
I have a trivia question about that album.
Okay, go for it. Are you asking now, or are you going to wait till Liz's rock and roll quiz?
I think I'll put that in my quiz.
Okay, there you go. All right, so stay tuned for that. Black Sabbath, did you buy this record when it came out as well?
Yes, I did.
Did you buy the first Black Sabbath album when it came out?
Yes, I did. Liz? Scared the shit out of me. Mott was the first to buy it.
Oh, really?
My friends.
Yeah, that's like 1970 or 69.
69, the first one, I believe.
Yeah, that scared the shit out of everybody, I think, when they heard it.
Terrifying record.
But you were excited once Paranoid dropped.
No, I mean,
then.
In a great way. I mean, it was great. Just like you listen to parts of Easy Action.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
that freaks you out, too.
Oh, when, Alice Cooper goes off into his little speech thing. And,
yeah.
You know, this fucking thing's driving me nuts, dude. One side of my headphones keeps going out.
Oh, okay. You want to pause for a second and fix it?
No, let's keep going. Okay. I'll just keep fucking with it.
Right. Over here. Keep playing with it.
Am I distracting you?
Your fidget, it doesn't look like you're moving a cord.
I can't.
Because your music stand is blocking, and what I'm seeing is very, very disturbing. Unsettling. To see your hand moving to and fro.
Yeah, yeah. It's like jerking at my shoulders. Oh, I just dropped it on the floor. It works.
Oh, there you go. Okay, don't move.
I'm not going to move.
Okay, so AD,
Shabby Road,
you're going to have to move because you need to put those records in order, priced low to high.
Okay.
I will give you, Led Zeppelin the most valuable one? There's a lot of copies of that floating around.
Yeah.
There's a lot of those Pink Floyd albums. All of these are just, there's millions of them out there in the marketplace.
What's the Black Sabbath album called?
Paranoid.
Paranoid, that one.
Iron Man.
War Pigs. War Pigs. Man, yeah.
Never need to hear it again. Even Electric Funeral, I'm like, no, okay, I'm done.
They don't mind it. You know, it's Fairies Wear Boots is on this one. That's good. I like Fairies
Wear
Boots.
Okay, I'll give them that.
I like that one all day long.
But as a completist, you got to buy these, right?
I don't think they put out a single of Fairies Wear Boots.
No.
You won't find that at the pop shop.
No. All right, AD, you ready?
I am.
Price low to high. Liz, you got the game ready to go. We got 30 seconds on the clock. I will say what you're putting out there and tell you if you're right. You have 30 seconds. You can fix it if you're wrong, if you have enough time. But it's all up to you. It's all in your hands now, AD.
Ready?
Okay. And so go.
Go for it. All right. He's got Black Sabbath down first. He's got Led Zeppelin and Pink Floyd. And that is incorrect. And now he's switched Led Zeppelin to Black Sabbath to Pink Floyd, and it's incorrect as well. You're running out of time, AD. He's flipped him around, and now he's got Led Zeppelin, Pink Floyd, and Black Sabbath, and that is correct.
Did it. No way. Well, I would not have guessed that.
Coming in at the bottom, now these records, I did original pressings, which tend to grab a little bit more money, but I am shocked at how much money people want for these records.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Led Zeppelin brings up the rear, which,
hey,
at $31.47.
That's what they want for that record now.
Well, minus $5 for shipping. So, yeah, over 30 bucks to get that to your door. That seems a little high.
You know, okay, that's one of those records. I got all my Zeppelin.
Mine right? I got for $5,
but
by the way.
What if I didn't have all my Zeppelin? And that's the one that,
nobody,
you know, I go,
that.
I'm not going to buy that, you know. And now it's the one that you got to have to complete your collection. You really don't want it so you can listen to the goddamn thing.
No.
You just want it because, and you're going to pay $30 and you're going to go, motherfuckers.
Yeah, that's why there's a hole in a lot of people's.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Right.
How come you don't have that? That's their best record. And you,
it's their most famous record. You don't have all the Zeppelin records. So in the middle, we have Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon coming in at $46.99, which is outrageous.
It is.
I got mine for $5. I got most of these for like $5.
Hey, capitalists.
Yeah. Trying to make some. Maybe it's the.
Roger Waters. You disgust me.
Oh, fuck.
You capitalist pig.
You pig.
You piggy.
Yeah. And finally, in first place is Black Sabbath Paranoid. $54.
Well, Ozzy's got. Listen, Ozzy's got a drug habit. I'll give Ozzy that money. I don't mind paying him that.
Can you believe that? $54 for Paranoid.
That's insane.
I know. That's the original pressing. That's what it's going for these days. So if you own one, congratulations.
Oh, wow.
You got some dough.
I do. I should
What
go.
Is the total of all of these things? I mean, it is $132 or something for those.
Near a buck and a half's worth of records.
Can you believe
Franklin
that?
Franklin and a half worth of vinyl
sitting
right
on,
there.
Sitting on the couch, old brownie, you've got $130 worth of records right there.
Wow.
Jeez.
Wow.
You need to start selling some of your records.
I know, yeah, man. Right? Man, my horn days are over. I'm selling me some vinyl. Woo! I'll make me some real money.
All right, Smarty Pants.
Wow.
Let's match wits. I think we're good to move on to our next adventure here. Liz, you got your rock and roll quiz.
The Luscious Liz.
Damn!
Rock and roll quiz.
Ah, AD, you always win this. You have beaten me.
Since I hit my head.
Yes. Did you suffer any concussions this weekend?
That's a no. That's definitely a no. I have not hit my head in a while. Okay, it's the extension cord. These headphones are also jacked.
Shabby road.
I'd love to hate this place, and I hate to love it.
Now, so Liz has how many questions? It's a total of seven.
Seven.
And whoever gets the most right out of seven, we are writing our answers down. All classic rock trivia. We invite you to play along and tell us what your score is. Can you beat AD or me at rock and roll quiz trivia?
Most can.
Yeah, we did not do well last time. That's all I remember is I did terrible last time.
I got me a remembering problem.
Have you now?
I do. I do.
CRS.
Oh, where's my smoke? I'm lighting one up as we speak.
Yes, please.
Because I got my thinking weed over here. Yeah. I got my. Some
please,
people have
yes.
day weed and night weed. I got my thinking weed.
I encourage you to get high before this.
Of course you do.
Yes, please do. I need a fighting chance. Although you're not right. concussed, I think I do have a chance.
It's a smart weed.
It's smart people weed. All right. Well, first question, Liz, go for it.
Okay, our first question is, what rock star was christened William Broad?
William Broad?
Mm-hmm, William Broad.
I'm going to just throw a guess out there because I'm going to say that it's not William. Maybe it's Billy.
Billy? I think you're thinking what I'm thinking.
I wrote Billy Joel.
I wrote Billy Idol.
80 wins.
Fuck.
Remember I did a thing about him. I did a segment on him when he was in Gen X. I did a
yeah. Oh, you did.
On another episode.
Yes.
Well, do I get half credit for getting Billy right?
Well, that's kind of a given there.
All right.
You're either all right, Ryan, or you're all wrong.
It was 1-0, AD.
Okay, question
that's
number 2.
That's something not many people say.
Question number 2.
Okay.
Which jazz trumpeter recorded the albums Bitches Brew and Birth of the Cool?
Oh, that's an easy one.
I love those
just
albums.
Album.
Albums. You should say records.
Records.
I think it's charming.
I like it.
My daughter still. My daughter still says when we go to the airport terminal, she calls it terminal. Still does.
Oh, yeah. My son just got out of the phase of saying...
Kepich?
Hangaber.
Oh, Hangaber?
Yeah. What are we having for dinner? Hangabers.
So I think we're talking about...
Miles Davis.
Talking about Miles Davis, yeah.
Yes, Miles okay. Davis. All right, we each get a point there.
Okay.
See how smart...
Bitch's Brew is a piece of shit, by the way. Okay, let's go ahead.
You know what? He even admits it.
Yeah, fuck.
After
stupid.
The fact, he went, ha, 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 you fools.
You idiots bought
you fucking dummies. That's exactly how he said it.
Kind of Blue is amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, question number three.
All right.
What man's name is mentioned in the Looking Glass hit, Brandy, You're a Fine Girl?
Oh, Jesus.
I just
Brandy,
heard that
you're
song.
You're a fine girl, what a good
one. What man's name? He's singing that. I really don't have any idea.
You have to pay really close attention in order to hear it, but it's in there.
How long are we going to let him do
ding,
this?
Ding, ding, ding,
I don't know. I don't have no idea. Tom.
I wrote John.
Monty.
Monty?
What the ever-loving what? Come on.
In a million years. Like, come on.
Come on.
I would never have picked that one.
Who names a sailor Monty?
All I can think of is Monty Hall.
Right?
That's
yeah.
The deal.
Monty's are game show hosts. Or card okay. games.
Number 49.
All right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, number four.
Four. Wow.
I
this weed is
drink.
Good. How have I done
how
so far?
Woo. We've been at this for some time.
I am hungry.
Right. What was the inspiration for Ozzy Osbourne's song, Suicide Solution?
Suicide. Oh,
Randy Rhoads, probably. Well, okay. I think I know what it's about.
I've got one. It's a good one. It's wrong, but I gotta say it.
Oh, jeez.
Dinky Diamond.
Oh, how dare you.
Right, though?
No.
No. Alcohol.
What's yours?
Alcohol.
In a way.
We're gonna need a ruling here.
All right. What way?
The death of AC/DC singer Bon Scott.
Oh, do I get the point? Because that's how he died.
Mm-hmm. Alcohol overdose.
Ooh. Do they mention alcohol in the song?
Wine is fine and whiskey's quick, liquor's quicker or whatever. Suicide is slow with liquor or whatever.
All right. You know what? Yeah.
Technicality.
Yeah.
I'll take the point.
All right, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, it's close enough, I think. Well, close enough for rock and roll, as
that's
they say.
That's right.
Yeah.
Would Monty Hall have given me that point?
No. Yeah, that's paid merchandise they're giving away there. Oh, sorry, judges.
All right.
What else you got?
Okay, question number five. What is the minimum number of musicians a band must have to be considered a big band?
Oh.
Minimum.
It's more about.
I know what that is, I think.
Right?
Like, yep. That's. Okay. Minimum. Marco minimum. You got yours there, Ryan?
I do, but it's the thought process for me is like I want four horn players and some like four of this like a woodwind or like you got clarinet or
three hot chicks.
And then you got your rhythm section
and a bass player.
So
I put
12.
I put 10.
AD is right.
Fuck. You want to smoke some of this, Ryan?
No.
Maybe later.
All right, let me know.
That's thinking weed.
Let me know.
Okay, question number six.
Hang on.
No. I would imagine you both should get this.
AD has pulled up the lead here. It's 3-2. I can still win.
Yes.
It's going to take me, I'm going to have to get all these questions right at the app.
Okay, question number six. What was the name of the Trog's most famous hit?
Oh, we all know that.
Oh, okay. That's it.
Yeah, that would be...
It would be...
Sam Kinison covered it.
Mm-hmm.
Wild Thing.
Was that Jessica Hahn in that video?
Yeah.
I want all my records back!
Yeah, that's the best part of the song. Wild Thing.
Some fun, yes. I got that one, too.
Yay.
All right.
AD is still in the lead, 4-3.
Wow. I cannot win. I can only tie.
Final question.
All right.
Please don't be a lyric challenge.
Who was an original member... of Steely Dan.
Oh, I know that one.
Who?
I totally know that one.
Any of the names?
What famous actor was an original member of Steely Dan?
I totally know that. Absolutely.
Oh, no.
I totally got that one.
Oh, man. I know I did a segment on Steely Dan.
Yes,
and probably
did.
Said it.
Kind of. I thought this was a common. I thought for sure you would get this one.
Well, I just forgot who it is. I know.
Oh,
that.
You know. You do. Yeah.
I'm afraid. Well, you're going to win anyway. So what do you got for it?
Chevy Chase.
That's right. Chevy
yes.
Chase. Yeah. Shit. Great job, AD. 5-3.
Wow.
Another embarrassing defeat for me.
Holy God. Guacamole.
How did you guys do if you played along with us? Did you get more than 5? AD, 5 out of 7. That's a pretty good score.
Yeah, I'm on a roll. What's up with that?
I know. Yeah. It's that thinking weed over there.
It is.
Maybe you should start stepping on his foot or something.
What? Yeah, forget about my head injuries. That's what it is. Make them hurt somewhere else.
Well, there's only one thing I can do now, AD, and that's to really get your brain working for another game of Heap or Poe.
Is it Uriah Heep? Or is it Edgar Allan Poe?
Quoth the raven.
Nevermore.
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 Heap or Poe.
Oh, that's right, AD. It's time for Heap or Poe.
Dude, I could just listen to that intro for another half hour.
Bird of Prey,
fucking
of course.
Great. Yeah, just, like, put that on a loop.
This is the game where I'm taking a poem by Edgar Allan Poe and song lyrics from Uriah Heep, and you two, Liz and AD, are to tell me, am I quoting Edgar Allan Poe or am I quoting the brilliant Uriah Heep? Best of 5.
Okay.
All right. And let's start here. Ready?
Yes, indeed.
Without a care, they sweep aside our dreams to try and make a way for their own. AD, is that Heap or Poe?
That is Uriah Heep.
Liz, is that Heap or Poe?
Say it again, please.
Without a care, they sweep aside our dreams to try and make way for their own.
Heap.
And the answer is Uriah Heep from the album Wonderworld. That is The Shadows and the Wind.
Of course it is, darling.
1 point for each of you.
All right.
The sad valley's restlessness, nothing there is motionless, nothing save the airs that brood.
That is so Edgar Allan Poe. Just the rhythm of it, yeah.
Yeah.
Poe and Poe.
Yeah.
You are correct. That is indeed Edgar Allan Poe from the poem The Valley of Unrest.
Yeah. That. It's got Poe written all over it. Just the rhythm of the rhyme. And the rhyme of the rhythm and the rhythm of the rhyme and the nickel to the dime. Sorry.
Far down within the dim west, where the good and the bad and the worst and the best have gone to their eternal rest.
Poe.
That's Heap.
Liz says Poe.
Mm-hmm.
AD says Heap. From the poem City in the Sea, that is Edgar Allan Poe. Liz pulls ahead 3-2.
Thing is, that had the same rhythm to it.
Yeah.
You know, and I went, I can't be 2 in a row.
Help me cross the virgin snow. I will run till daybreak. My tears will fade away. They will never take me again.
Heap.
Heap or Poe, AD? Help me cross the virgin snow. I will run till daybreak. My tears will fade away. They will never take me again.
Yeah, that's Heap. That's Uriah Heap.
Liz, you said Heap as well? You're both correct, from the song The Golden Palace from Sonic Origami 1998.
Sonic Origami.
I'm going deep for these. Heap.
Ooh.
All right, last one. And AD, you can't win.
No.
You can only tie.
All right, here we go.
All right, last one. And it goes like this. Life, an unfinished painting. Your creator is waiting. The brush and the pen describe.
That's got to be Poe.
Totally right, Heap.
And Liz says Poe.
Yeah.
AD says Heap. From the album and the title track, Return to Fantasy, that is Uriah Heap. It is a tie, 4-4. You want a tiebreaker? Right. What the heck?
You got one?
Okay.
Yeah, all right. I got some. Let me see if it leaves enough for the. Yeah, we're good. All right. And when amid no earthly moans, hell rising from 1,000 thrones.
Heap.
You might as well go with Poe to get the win.
Say it again.
And when amid no earthly moans, hell rising from 1,000 thrones.
That sounds like Heap, but I'm going to say Poe.
Heap?
Heap.
And you say Poe?
Yeah.
From the City and the Sea, that's Edgar Allan Poe, A.D., in the overtime. It comes back for a victory.
How about that? Wow.
Wow.
Nice. Good job, you two.
I need to start reading more.
I just, you know what? It's just you start to go, you just hope it's a song you've heard or a poem you've heard or read by Poe. And which it usually isn't, but
right.
Then you go, I try to think about, was there a rhyme before it or after it? What does it rhyme with? What's the rhythm of it like, you know? And
see, I'm thinking about the verbiage.
Right, yeah.
That's being
used. They're using the same, it's all Gothic English.
But I'm not going
to
let
the with
the
whole
verbiage.
Virgin thing, I knew there's no way Edgar Allan Poe said anything about a virgin.
Oh, my.
I'll have to check my notes and see if there is anything. But
yeah, not when he was drinking his absinthe.
All right. So once again, dear listener, if you're joining us here for this happy hour number 7, please let us know how you did on Heap or Poe. You need to have swept it, I think, to win because AD had 5.
Yeah.
5 out of 6. So you needed 6. You needed to even get the tiebreaker one.
Right.
Oof. That's a tough game. But you guys do really well in it.
It's a tough one. Yeah, it's fun. It's a fun one.
Liz won last time.
Yes. I think that's the first one I've ever won.
Yeah.
I think you're right, because Liz was kind of running the table.
I usually get pretty clobbered there.
Yeah. Well, you got your... I'm starting to believe that maybe I should start smoking your weed.
That's a damn smart
drinking,
weed
that's
right
what
there,
it
right?
Is.
Yeah.
Well, somebody
get slacker.
Give Liz a shot. It's happy hour, Liz.
You know, I got some of your stuff in there. You want me to make you a Christmassy fireball drink?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe I'll make one, too.
Yeah.
Okay. We're still celebrating Christmas here at the end of wherever we
are. Well, we have some stuff left over.
That's true.
Those, what are those called?
My Fireball Express?
Yeah, Fireball Express. The Starbucks stuff
shot.
In it. Yeah, those are good. Remember?
Yes.
What was it you said? They taste like Christmas.
Yes. Yeah. And it's a Good Rat song, Fireball Express.
Right, yeah.
Because I thought it was espresso.
Right. It's kind of what it is, though. Isn't it like the canned Starbucks espresso?
Yeah.
It is good.
Espresso. Not espresso.
Oh, okay. No, that's where I messed up all those years ago.
Yeah, that's a coffee thing.
Yeah. Okay, well.
Marrakesh espresso.
Yeah.
So you got your heavy or happy track?
I do. I do indeed. Where the hell is it? Where'd it go?
Get it together. The weed is not helpful for that, then, I guess.
Focus. All right, so what I brought... Where'd it go? Where the fuck? My notes. Well, for the crying out loud.
I don't think the weed's working.
Oh, here it is. Oh, Jesus. I ran out of paper. I wrote it on the cardboard on the back of the pad.
Wow.
I didn't want to put this little thing in a brand new separate notebook. Like that. Anyway, what I brought was a 6-pack to go album by Hank Thompson and his Brazos Valley Boys.
What do those words mean?
The official title of this album is A 6-Pack to Go with Hank Thompson and his Brazos Valley Boys with a program of their biggest beer drinking hits.
Oh, I love it already.
Capitol Records, 1966, produced by Ken Nelson. Give this a whack. Check out some of the titles.
Okay, all right.
This is a happy hour album, if I've ever heard a happy hour album.
First of all, there's cans of beer, old style, not the beer old style, but the pull top.
How many?
Cans.
How many of them?
There are 6.
There are 6 indeed. Each of them have a bearing of Hank Thomas.
Well, you have a 6-pack to go.
Yep.
Honky Tonk Town.
Mm-hmm, you sure do.
Hangover Heart.
Right, good one.
You got to have a polka, so Beer Barrel Polka's on there.
Yep.
Drunkard's Blues.
Oh, yes.
Bubbles in My Beer.
Yep.
Hangover Tavern.
Yeah.
The Wild Side of Life.
That's a good one.
We got another polka here. Bartender's Polka.
Yep.
Anybody's Girl.
Yeah, it's a sad one.
Warm Red Wine.
Mm, that's a good one, too.
A Broken Heart and a Glass of Beer.
Well, it's funny, in a weird way, it's a concept album, because the whole thing, it really is about him trying to...
Produced by Bob Ezrin. No,
it's this chick, yeah, right? No, it's this chick that he got his eye on, and she's everybody else's girl, and he's just trying to hook her, and hook her. Hook the hooker. That's why they call him that.
No.
Sure.
No.
But anyway, and so he sits there and he laments at that bar every night and watches her go out with different guys every night, and it's never him.
Really?
Yeah, and so it's kind of a cool record. I listened to it twice. I kind of really like it.
How did you come across this record?
It was in a collection that was given to me.
Okay.
Yeah. By Steve and Sandy
by
Wallace.
Steven.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Came
that
in with a batch of theirs, and it was a lot of country stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And so I looked through it, and I'm like, fucking Hank. And this is a good beer drinking. This is a great fucking record. I like it. So anyway, what I want to do is I want to play Bubbles in My Beer. It's going to be side one, track six. Well, Willie Nelson does a version of this song, too, on his Shotgun Willie album from 73. So this is just a good one. He's just sitting there, you know, sometimes when you're sitting at the bar and, you know, there's all this noise around you, but you're not really hearing any of it. And there's lights flashing and the neon beer signs, but you're not seeing any of it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just sitting there just really just staring into your beer. Watch the bubbles pop, you know,
mm-hmm.
just thinking about your dog died and your woman left. All the bad shit.
All the country songs.
Where your life is going. You're thinking to yourself, why am I in this fucking bar? You uh-huh. know, as those bubbles pop one by one, and then there goes another bit of your life.
Counting your
and
beer
that's
bubbles.
That's what this song is about.
Sounds really
as
uplifting.
As we sit here at Shabby Road.
Oh, my God. Okay.
So if you're driving, grab yourself a beer.
We drink the beer too
yeah,
fast.
Yeah, grab yourself a brew and enjoy this song. This is
so
Hank Thompson.
If you're driving, go ahead and pop that beer.
Yeah, pop that pop top.
For that fireball.
Hank Thompson and his Brazos Valleys boys with a program of biggest beer drinking hits, a six-pack to go. We're going to be playing Bubbles in My Beer. Now, this song was written by the great Bob Wills, along with Cindy Walker and Tommy Duncan.
All right. This record is scratched all to be damned.
It is all fucking, yeah.
Jesus.
This is a wreck.
Yay.
It plays, now. It plays, man. This thing plays.
Before me, I'm watching the bubbles in my beer. A vision of someone who loves me brings a lone silent tear to my eye. So I know that my life's been a failure. Just watching the bubbles in my beer. Passed me by, and the dreams that
Well, that made me want a beer so bad.
I'm having one now. Matter of fact,
I got one.
Did you?
Yes,
I'm getting one. You want one, man? I'll go get one. That would be a six-pack to go. The album is the name of that. Bubbles in My Beer by Hank Thompson and his Brazos Valley Boys with a program of their biggest beer drinking hits.
Well, yeah, it totally reminded me of my grandmother's music there.
Right, yeah.
For sure.
I love that.
All right, before we go, let's go ahead and give away a free t-shirt.
Ah, that's nice. Yes.
As you guys know, if you've been listening for the past few weeks, we have been doing a thing where we got a bunch of Shabby Road Record Show t-shirts. We're sending you free of charge, doing a drawing.
Drawing.
All you got to do is leave an iTunes review, a written iTunes review over there. The link is in your show notes, so if you haven't done so, please enter yourself by going in.
That was a film I did there.
Unfortunate turn of phrase there, but right, go over to the iTunes page, leave a written review, and you will be thrown into the big hopper. We have pulled a name out of the hopper for tonight. Who's going to win the free t-shirt sent to you? With all you got to do is give us your address. Well, who is it, Liz?
Tonight's winner is Amy Wishart.
Hey!
Yay! All right!
Hey!
I know Amy. She's awesome.
Yes.
Fantastic.
And this is her review from July of 2014.
Goes back
AD
ways.
And Ryan have a wealth of knowledge about many genres of music. But for me, the best part of this podcast is the energy of their obvious long-term friendship.
What?
These guys are clearly friends as well as bandmates. They each have an encyclopedic knowledge of all things rock, from Kiss to seminal punk bands and everything in between.
Wow.
Well, thank you,
makes
Amy.
Sound like we know what we're doing.
Sounds like we got her thinking that we're actually friends.
I know.
Wow. We're good at this.
I can't stand you.
We're really good at this.
Don't look
nonsense,
at me.
Aren't
You've
we?
Put the wool over her eyes.
We're an old married couple. We're not friends anymore. We're
right,
like this old take out the trash.
Yeah. Where's the remote,
Honeydews.
Ryan? Where's the remote?
I don't know. Go get it. So please go over there, enter for your chance to win a free Shabby Road t-shirt. And Amy, hit us up on our social media stuff. Actually, you could probably text me because I think I have Amy's number.
Yeah. Ooh.
And let us know your shirt size and all that stuff. So we're happy to send it to you. Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks for the awesome review, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, please keep on doing it, everybody. It helps promote the show. iTunes will put us up in the new and noteworthy kind of area. And
yeah, we're kind of in detention right now.
We'll get a club box.
Yeah,
iTunes hates us.
We're at the kids' table.
All right, well, apparently, the happy hour is over.
Oh.
Drinks are now double the price of what they were. The appetizers are gone. But we thank you guys very much for hanging out with us here on Happy Hour number 7.
The hobos ate the donuts.
Let us know how you did on all the various games and all of that stuff. So, Liz, thank you very much for running the controls
for us
here tonight. That is a tough challenge, getting all those intros and outros and game time and blah, blah, blah. So thank you. Awesome job, as usual.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
And Fingers you, AD, you did great, too. You freaking won the trivia again.
About that?
And you're just killing it tonight.
I'm
so
just a brainiac now, suddenly.
Brainiac star.
I just have to work on that.
Hit me. Watch me go.
All right, guys, we'll see you next time on a regular episode. So have a great rest of your day or rest of your night or whatever you're up to. And we'll see you next time at Shabby Road. Good night.
All right. The bar is now closed.
A portion of the Shabby Road Record Show is fearlessly brought to you by those crazy bastards at nameonanything.com. Use the promo code Shabby at checkout and save 10% on your order. Nameonanything.com. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.